If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you take them. And let's go back to Daniel chapter 6. And I want you to note some words found in verse 4. The man who was always faithful. And we read from the King James in verse 4, "For as so much as he was faithful." And I want to underscore that word that has become quite lost in our vocabulary and in our experience, faithful. In the last letter written to Vance Havner, that famous Bible teacher of the 20th century, by his wife on the day that she entered the hospital, she wrote, and I quote, "You have been so faithful." Having heard those words, Vance Havner wrote, "I'd rather have that line than anything else she could have written." Let me mention it again. You have been so faithful. What a magnificent compliment to be given to any husband, let alone any wife or any Christian. Because we happen to be living in a day in a very unfaithful world. As a matter of fact, men are unfaithful to their husbands, wives are unfaithful to their husbands, and men are unfaithful to their wives. Christians are unfaithful to the church, and especially to their responsibilities. And yet, is it any wonder then that God not only desires, but he admires this wonderful virtue in all of us, and especially those of us who profess to be Christians? Faithfulness, this old-fashioned loyalty, is one requirement which believers will be both praised and rewarded for one day by our Heavenly Father. I want you to listen to the words of the Supreme Judge who said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now the Apostle Paul was of this same persuasion. Over there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "But the Lord is faithful." And we know that. There's never been a time in my life or your life that God has not been faithful to us. And this same God wants us to be faithful, as Paul declared to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I like the rendering of the NIV here. "It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove to be faithful." And we ought to stop there for just a moment, for each and every one of us to realize that God has given all of us different gifts. And one day there will be an accounting. So don't misuse it and don't abuse it, but use it for the glory of God. Now, Daniel was an inspiring example of living a faithful life in a sinful world. For 70 years he faithfully served his God in a heathen foreign land, without compromising his faith and without worrying about the consequences. The Bible says in the text that I'm presenting this morning that he was faithful. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that would be characteristic of each and every one of us? That when we stand before him, that wonderful word, he could say, "You were faithful." Well, I thought it might be good on this Sunday to take a closer look at the faithfulness of this man, Daniel, and find out what we come up with. Consider first of all that Daniel was a man of uncontaminated purity. And you know, we could stop right there. There is a sermon in itself. He was a man of uncontaminated purity. And this brilliant flame of purity started way back in the days of his youth. And I want to tell the young people who are here this morning and all of us, that's where it starts. The earlier the better. Right in your youth, We could go back to chapter 1 and read there in verse 8 these words. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's food, nor the wine which the king drank. He purposed in his heart. If you are a young person here this morning, you ought to make that the aim, the passion of your life, that you're going to purpose in your heart. I know it's difficult, but I know it's possible to live a sanctified, holy life with Jesus Christ. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, in order to understand where we are in the life of Daniel at this point, permit me to give you a little background material. Daniel and thousands of his countrymen had been taken captive and deported to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar in his siege of Palestine in about 605 BC. And there in Babylon, knowing that his God was in control of all things, Daniel held fast to his faith. He courageously took his stand against the heathen customs of the day, and he faithfully lived for God during the reign of four kings. Now that's amazing. I read about a man in the Old Testament by the name of Enoch, and it says he walked with God. And for 300 years he walked with God. Now I don't know about you, it seems as difficult to walk with God for just one day. But he did it, and so did Daniel. Now Babylon was a very magnificent city in the world at that time. And King Nebuchadnezzar gave orders that Daniel, by the way, he was just about 12 years of age, along with other talented young men, should be trained in the language and in the customs and in the wisdom and in the literature of the Babylonians. And here he was, of royal descent, young, handsome, intelligent, living in a heathen land 1,000 miles from home. A Jew among Gentiles, a believer among unbelievers, being called upon to stand against all of the evil of Babylon and remain faithful in his devotion to God. Now, from the standpoint of the world, everything was against him, and it seemed almost impossible that he could live such a life. That was a high calling. If you think it's difficult to be a Christian today, you should have lived during the time of Daniel. So there he was in Babylon with a moral choice to make. I want to read again the decision that he made in chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. That was the stand that he took. Now the reason why he flatly refused to eat the tainted portion of the king's meat is because the food had not been properly prepared, and it had been offered to a heathen deity. Thus it was unacceptable to a godly Jew like Daniel. And though his environment was one of iniquity and idolatry, I want you to note that he kept his garment unspotted in the day in which he lived, and his heart untainted from the things of the world. He was determined to live a separated and godly life in the midst of all of the ungodliness. Now we can learn a lesson from this man, Daniel, at this point. I tell you, my Christian friends, it isn't easy to stand against such defilement. And you know what I'm talking about as we live in the 21st century. To remain saintly in such sinful surroundings, in such a sordid society, is difficult and a daring thing to do. We often sing that song, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose, dare to make it known." You know, there's one thing in that song, though, that I think we need to relook at, and it's this. For in actuality, Daniel was not alone. And you and I know what I'm talking about. He was never alone. And neither are you and neither are I. The keeping power of Jehovah gave him the strength to say no as he passed through that wicked society and that civilization. With the help of his divine Lord, the white light of Daniel's purity remained uncontaminated and untarnished. And I tell you this morning, all honor to such a man. To stand up for Christ and let it be counted in the midst of such wickedness. You know, we need more Daniels today in the 21st century and in the times in which we live, and it's not going to get any better. Just pick up your Bible and read the book of Revelation, and you know what I'm talking about. And yet, when things are at its worst, God is at his best. We are in need of more men and women of the caliber of Daniel who will stand up to this pleasure-prone, materialistic society in which we live with the high resolve to say, no, I can't do it. Because I'm a Christian. Now, a word of advice at this point. It is easier to resist temptation if you have thought through your convictions before the temptation comes upon the scene. And whether you are in high school or you have matriculated this fall in a Christian college or a secular university, get your convictions down now before you go. Know where you stand, and it's going to be extremely helpful for you. Daniel and his friends made their decision to be faithful to the law of their God before they were faced with the king's delicacies. As a young man, he took his stand. Sometimes we get into trouble because we have not previously decided where to draw the line. Before such situations arise, decide on your commitment. Who are you going to be committed to? You and I. And when the temptation comes, there is a way out. Thank God for 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is a way. And you and I know who the way is this morning, according to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is the way. And he will give us deliverance. But here he was faithful. His uncontaminated purity. And God is still, that is still the call of God today, to live a holy life. And yet we've got the television and the radio and the movies. And everything seems to be immoral. And no one has any standards. And when you don't have any standards like we Christians who have the standard of the Bible, then you do anything. And then you have chaos. And that's where we're at in the world in which we live. Let's go on to a second thought. Daniel's faithfulness was not only seen in his uncontaminated purity, but it was also seen in his uncompromising principles. When King Darius decided to place Daniel over the entire empire because of his great ability, you read there in the surrounding verses that the presidents and the governors became very angry. Notice what they said there in verse 4 from your Bible. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault for so much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. I like the way the New Living Translation renders the last part. But they couldn't find anything to criticize. He was faithful and honest and always responsible. What a testimony in the midst of such wickedness. And these pagan leaders, they didn't like it. And they don't today. Where you work, where you live, you take your stand, they aren't going to like it. Because your life might put them under conviction. to realize there are absolutes we must live by. And the presidents at that time didn't care for the way that Daniel was living. So out of a jealous spirit, entering into an evil plan by which they might destroy this man of God, notice they carefully scrutinized his life, every move, and finding nothing in his life by which to blacken his character and bring him down, what do? They turn to our faith. And that's what they're doing today. Evangelicals are being persecuted throughout the world at this very moment. We're taking a beating in this country because of our stand. And they did in Daniel's day. Now they went after his faith. Now, had Daniel been weak in the faith, or half-hearted in his commitment and in his faithfulness, he probably would have thrown in the towel. And to their evil wishes. But he didn't. And I want you to know this morning that he was willing to die for his faith. And God is still calling upon people today. That's what the cross is all about. The cross is not the ordinary evils or sicknesses or weaknesses that come to all of God's creatures. The cross is the pain and the persecution that you and I are willing to bear where you work, where you live, where you're going to school, because of Christ. And you ought to realize you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be persecuted. Started way back in the Old Testament. It's never stopped. But Daniel was faithful. So notice the evil plot they presented to King Darius is found in verses 7 through 9. It says, "We presidents and governors and councils and deputies have unanimously decided that you should make a law, irrevocable under any circumstance, that for the next 30 days, anyone who asks a favor of God or man, except from you, your majesty, shall be thrown to the lions." Your majesty, we request your signature on this law. Sign it so that it cannot be canceled or changed. It will be a law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Now, from those words that I've just read, we find this. And you ought to realize this now. That neither King Darius nor Daniel, his prime minister, could break this law. Now they thought they had Daniel in their sieve. My, he sure to bow down now. He sure to give in. But listen to me, and you have already heard me say it. When things look the darkest, God's promises become the brightest. And from all outward appearance, it would have looked like Daniel would have bowed down to custom and given in. But he knew that his God was with him. And that's the secret. And that's the major thrust of the message that I'm trying to get across this morning. At this point in this sermon, mention should be made of Paul's prayer for the believers at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. You don't have to turn to it. Let me read it. Where Paul has this prayer for them, and he says this: "May the Lord bring you into an ever deeper understanding of the love of God," which is wonderful. We all need that. Oh, I wish we could get across this morning how much God loves you and He loves me. And we need a deeper understanding of that, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's the embrace of God's love. But then Paul goes on, and the endurance that comes from Christ. Okay. Get that word endurance that comes from Christ. This quality of patient enduring in the midst of trouble or annoying circumstances is communicated to every child of God by the Spirit of the living God. No matter what you might be going through, the persecution, the pain, the suffering. Dee Dee and Darren know what I'm talking about. And those who are going through a real difficult time. Somehow, beyond our strength, God gives the endurance. And we get through it. And this was the patient endurance that Daniel experienced when he was hounded and persecuted by his enemies. And through it all, notice he remained calm, steadfast. And notice what he did in the face of such a decree, according to verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did previously. In other words, those last 4 words just tell us that was the habit of Daniel, and nothing was going to prohibit him from praying to his God. Now, this is what it means to turn persecution into profit, and pain into progress, and thorns into thrones, and scars into stars. Daniel was a master at this type of triumphant living. Circumstances didn't bother him. The whole world could be against him. Didn't matter to Daniel. He was faithful because he had a God. And there you have his uncompromising principles. Now we happen to be living at a time when there's no principles among those who don't believe in living by principles. Whatever the tide, which way the tide is blowing, they're going to go that way. Whatever they want to do, there's nothing absolute. Everything is relative. Do as you please. And in the midst of that, you and I are asked to have our Christian convictions. Well, let's go to a third point. Now notice, we are looking at Daniel's amazing faithfulness. And we have considered his uncontaminated purity and his uncompromising principles. Now thirdly, I want you to think of his unwavering persistence. Now here's the law, and it's stated that anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to your majesty, will be thrown to the lions. And then notice what we read in verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now it's interesting to note that upon hearing the decree of the king, Daniel didn't even deliberate. He didn't hesitate. There was no vacillating. There was no procrastinating. With calm courage, without taking a single precaution to shield himself from the hostile scrutiny of his adversaries, notice now, he went to his house, he opened the windows of his chamber, he put the shutters back, he pulled the curtains aside so that he could see across the Arabian desert to the holy city of Jerusalem. And then he knelt in humble prayer. And here this old prophet, without fanfare or fear, he fulfills his religious duty to God. And the consequences of disobeying the king's decree didn't matter to Daniel. He was faithful to a higher king, the God who had called him. The God who had been with him all of those years in Babylon. And he remained faithful because he wanted to have communion with his God. Now, I want you to note, according to verse 7, the decree of the king was only to last 30 days. Just 30 days. And I can imagine some might have reasoned this way, Daniel, give in to the king. You need only to suspend your praying for 30 days. What's that compared to a lifetime? Not going to affect you. Just 30 days you have to cease praying. Or perhaps Daniel could have been tempted to reason in this manner. Well, I won't pray in public, but I'll just pray in private, so no one will know anything about it. But to the everlasting glory of this man of God, he remained firm and steadfast in his loyalty. It didn't matter to Daniel whether the king's law was for 30 days or for a lifetime. He wasn't going to bow down and serve the king. The threats of the king would not keep him from bowing his knees to his God in heaven, whether such praying was done in private or in public. He was a free man, and his freedom was found in Jesus Christ. Now, certainly the crowd must have taunted him. You don't take your stand for Christ without being taunted and ridiculed. But Daniel prayed on. They cried out, he's openly defying the king's decree. He should be thrown into prison. But Daniel prayed on. They continued, the king will throw you to the lions. But Daniel prayed on. And Daniel's persistency, as he stands calmly and serenely against the pagan atmosphere of his day, may be found in this one thing. He was a man of prayer. It's got to be found there. That was his habit. There's something about praying in that intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father that sets us free from all of the fears and the frustrations that come to us as men of Adam. Daniel was a man of prayer. And I submit to you this morning that anyone here who has learned the art of praying knows what I'm talking about and knows what Daniel went through. Robert Murray McShane, that devoted preacher of the past, was right when he stated, what a man is on his knees alone before God, that he is and no more. And it's not the duration of how long you spend on your knees, but it's the meaning behind the prayer. The prayer is heartfelt, effectual, fervent. And it really accomplishes something. Let me put it to you in my own words. The depth of our commitment to God will be determined by the measure of our communion with God. You ought to get that down if you're taking notes. That's by Reg Dunlap, by the way. The depth of our commitment to God will be determined by the measure of our communion with God, and no more. If you happen to be here this morning and you're missing out on devotions, you aren't having a good prayer time with God every day, habitual, if you're running, going here and going there, and maybe you're doing a lot of just service, sometimes we need to put aside the service and just sit and wait and let God speak to us. Because it's going to be in that prayer time, in that devotional time, that you and I are going to find the power to give us the poise to live in such a life as this. My dear friends, such an unwavering persistency like that which so characterized the life of Daniel, it must be taught. And then as the occasion arises, it must be demonstrated by each and every one of us. We, like Daniel, we must continue to take our stand on the moral issues of life. No matter which way the wind is blowing, it doesn't change for the Christian. We must not lie. We must not cheat. We must not commit immorality. We must not gossip. We must not do the wrong things. We must not go against the will of God. Whatever may happen to us, may we never give up our faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Our response must be exactly like the response of Daniel so many years ago. A definite no to the king's edict. No. I will not do it. And this is precisely what God expects from each one of us. Steadfastness, faithfulness can only be found where Daniel found it, at the place of prayer. That's why prayer meeting is so important. Corporate praying, private prayer. We ought to be in the attitude of prayer. I'm as guilty as you are. We need to spend more time in prayer. We sing about it in the secret of His presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learn at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me, to the sacred place I go. And that's the secret. Well, we're coming down toward the end this morning. A man who was always faithful. We have looked at his uncontaminated purity. We have considered his uncompromising principles. And we have seen and zeroed in on his unwavering persistence. His persistency. Now, we cannot take leave without looking at and considering his unmistakable protection. And that's what God promises. Notice the words found in verse 16 there in your Bible. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. And we continue reading down in verses 19 and 20 these words. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with an anguish voice unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Now let's picture the scene. The inevitable happened. Daniel was arrested and cast live into the den of lions. And I want you to listen to the dramatic words found there in verses 21 and 22 and 23. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because, now notice, he believed in God. And there you have God's unmistakable protection on his faithful prophet. He did not forsake him. And when those hungry lions tried to attack Daniel, they couldn't. They got lockjaw. The God of heaven, above all others, shut their mouths so they could not hurt his prophet. In closing this morning, just in passing, you might be in some lion's den, some tight spot, with people against you, persecuting you for righteousness' sake. And that old roaring lion that the Bible calls Satan is doing everything in his power to trip you up. He wants to devour you. Now, what can you do? Well, you can do like I do sometimes. We can fret. And we can fume. And we can whine. And we can complain. And we can struggle. And we can worry. Now, you may do any one of those things. But you need not to. You don't have to. And neither do I. you and I, like Daniel, can experience the delivering power of God in your life. And so can I. Because He indeed is the great deliverer. Whether it's from a disease, a defeat, a disappointment, anything. Just listen to this. He delivers from sin. Is that your problem? In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, therefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. To the uttermost. He can deliver from sin. He can deliver from fear. And all of us need this. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from all of my fears. Isn't that wonderful? He delivers from failure and death. In Psalm 56, verse 13, for You have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. He delivers from anxiety. What did Paul say to the church of Philippi over there in chapter 4, verse 6? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He delivers from evil habits, whatever they might be. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if you happen to be in some horrible den and being threatened by some lion, I just tell you this morning that the same divine power that delivered Daniel is waiting to deliver you and me. But there is a condition. You must put your trust in the living God who has revealed Himself totally in Jesus Christ. And if this auditorium this morning was packed with people and there were unsaved here, first of all, I would go after those and try to encourage them to accept Christ. But this is a regenerate fellowship this morning. And the same God who saved us, we need to realize, is the same God who can sustain us, whatever the problem might be. And then, like Daniel in that Old Testament, and like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, you and I will be able to shout, as he did in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Then let us be faithful to our God. And I didn't have this in the message, but just this morning in the study, and what was the result of it all? I didn't go that far. Do you know how King Darius was changed and began to serve the living God and recognize Him as the God? Because of one man in a foreign country who took his stand for God and the effect that it had upon the king. You never know, and neither do I, the effect that we can have on people and our stand for Jesus Christ. The man who was always faithful. May that be said of each and every one of us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we have looked at the prophet of old, one of your favorite prophets, Daniel, and he was so faithful. And he was faithful, Lord, in an unfaithful world. And that's where we find ourselves this morning. And we realize, Lord, it's not going to get any better. You have said that in your word. The days ahead are going to be filled with persecution and peril and even death. But we thank you, Lord, that we have the promise that you are with us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, perhaps God on this Sunday has been speaking to your heart in a very special way. And you say, Pastor Reg, I know more than ever that I need to be faithful to my God. Where I work, where I go to school, I know He's counting upon me to be faithful to Him, no matter what the cost. And like Daniel of old, on this Sunday, I see it now more than ever. And I want to make that commitment. Today more than ever, I want to be faithful to Him. Now, if God has spoken to your heart, you can indicate that by your hand, just putting it up and say, Pastor Reg, that's the type of Christian I want to be. Good. See that hand? One in the back? Oh, praise the Lord. Anyone else see those hands? Anyone else? Wonderful. I wonder if Pastor Kurt, before we dismiss, Pastor Kurt, would you come up here this morning and just, I've prayed, would you just lead us in a prayer of consecration? For all of us and any others that just ask God to meet us in a special way. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for this example of Daniel and his unwavering faithfulness toward you, Lord. We pray that we as an individual, as we as a body, Lord, would see this as the way to live, that we would see this as right and proper, as true. We pray, Lord, that we might put ourselves in your care and trust in you as little children, trust in their daddies and mommies, that we might be faithful to you, that we might see that you are worthy of our faith, of our trust, that you care for us so much, that your love is always there, that you are always faithful to us, even as Pastor Reg just shared with us, Lord, you are always faithful. Help us to recognize that, to realize that, to implement that in our lives, Lord, and to put you as our priority, to be faithful to you, to trust in you, to put our lives in your hand, and to live unwaveringly for you. No matter what the cost, no matter what goes on around us, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what, Lord, may we all live for you and do and follow, even as Daniel has done in everything in our lives, Lord, be faithful. May you root out the things that that cause us to fear, that cause us to waver, that cause us to fall away. Help us to realize in your goodness and your kindness and your mercy and your grace, Lord, that it's all about you. And that as we live for you, Lord, then that's where we'll find our purpose, our meaning, and our joy and our peace. So encourage us, Lord, to do that. Encourage us and help us along the way to remain faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.